I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Today, another installment of Midday on the Arts, when we survey some of the great cultural offerings in Baltimore and beyond. Darren Atwater joins me to talk about the Soulful Symphony, the orchestra he founded nearly 20 years ago, which features mostly African-American and Hispanic musicians who are steeped in a full palette of musical styles from Handel to hip-hop. They're beginning a new residency at the Meriwether Post Pavilion on Saturday night. Plus, master bluesman Guy Davis plays for us here in Studio A. And we'll hear from Walt Michael about this year's Common Ground on the Hill Festival, which is underway in Carroll County. And Jaywin Russick reviews Steel Magnolias at the Spotlighters Theater in Baltimore. Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us for Midday. Today it's Midday on the Arts. A little later in the program, the legendary bluesman and storyteller Guy Davis will play a few tunes to preview this year's Common Ground on the Hill Festival in Westminster. We'll also talk with the festival's founder and director, the great roots musician Walt Michael. Plus, theater critic Jaywin Russick drops by with her review of the new production of Steel Magnolias at Baltimore's Spotlighters Theater. The great spiritual Wade in the Water, and the kind of arrangement you're not likely to hear in most churches or concert halls. Vocalist Mashika Winslow appearing with the kind of symphony orchestra that you are also not likely to hear in most concert halls, the Soulful Symphony, founded nearly 20 years ago here in Baltimore by my first guest today, Darren Atwater. Soulful Symphony is one of the few classical ensembles in the country whose artistic personnel is largely African-American and Hispanic. On Saturday night, they are performing their first concert in their new home, the Meriwether Post Pavilion, in Columbia. If you have questions or comments you want to make to Darren Atwater, the founder and conductor of the Soulful Symphony, our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWYPR, and you can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page. Good to see you, man. How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, Tom. It's always great to be with you, man.
So congratulations on this new residency at Meriwether Post. You know, the orchestra, as I mentioned, is almost 20 years old. You founded it in 2000. You've had different homes. I mean, you were with the symphony for a while. Mm-hmm. You were at the Hippodrome for a little while. Why the move to Meriwether, and how do you think that's going to help things moving forward?
Well, as you mentioned, we've had this kind of nomadic existence, and the opportunity to kind of have our own space when it was presented to us by the Downtown Columbia Arts and Culture Commission. It was something that I felt was a perfect match in that we've had to demystify certain aspects of our spaces, whether it's at the Meyerhoff or at the Hippodrome. They really weren't built for the type of shows and the type of music that we present. So to have a facility that has undergone, you know, its own renovation of sorts, where we can kind of match what we do on stage in terms of this iconic American venue with what we do in terms of our American roots music. It's just kind of seemed like the perfect match.
And it's interesting because it's very consistent with the founder of Columbia, James Rouse, and his philosophy, his notion of what, you know, a balanced, good community is.
Yeah, racially inclusive, kind of dismantling all these social constructs that kind of divide us. And, you know, he wanted culture to be an anchor for this new city. And actually built Meriwether for the NSO, and they were there for a couple of years or so before they went back to Washington and eventually Wolf Trap. So it's kind of been 52 years without an orchestra. So to bookend his vision and to realize that was Soulful is so exciting.
Yeah. Yep. I haven't been over there in a long time. What's new about it? They have renovated it, right? They've done a lot of work on
it. Yeah, I mean,
recently,
right? Yeah, the entire the roof was elevated 30 feet, so you can kind of bring in the biggest productions of lighting, video, you know, state-of-the-art sound production. They gutted the seats, so it's the pavilion is brand new, 6,500 seats. They have a skybox, skylawn. So if you've ever been to Merriweather, the concessions are new. It's pretty much a new facility.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the energy and the vitality of what's happening in downtown Columbia, period, and, you know, at the very center of that Merriweather Post Pavilion, and us anchoring that as a cultural institution is exciting.
So you're going to do three concerts there this summer.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
The summer in September is the last one.
Yeah. Officially, resident orchestra, which means this year we do three concerts, one this Saturday and then July and then September. So.
And are you also going to be involved in the programming for other aspects of Merriweather Post?
Yes, a part of my job is I'm also the artistic director of the Downtown Columbia Arts and Culture Commission, who's the owner of Merriweather Post Pavilion with our commercial partner, IMP. So as a part of my job, once we launch SOFA, I'm going to be responsible for bringing in acts, presenting festivals, doing programming, kind of amalgamating all the arts institutions in downtown Columbia.
And you're the perfect guy for that. Because, I mean, really, your own personal biography is that you've got your hand in all sorts of different aspects of the music and arts business. You're a composer, you're a conductor, you're a pianist. You've, you know, founded and you're running the Soulful Symphony. I mean, you've got your eye on a lot of different dimensions of this thing. So.
Yeah, and it's Soulful Symphony is almost a launching point in terms of my objective of how do we begin to consolidate the culture and bring these institutions together that have been kind of disconnected, and how those things all coalesce and what is the nexus around our American experience. And so aside from Soulful, everything in our American roots soil is what I'm trying to kind of consolidate and bring groups as small as individuals to other institutions and orchestras around the countries and ensembles. So
when you talk about American roots music, I mean, you know, these genres and these labels that we throw out because we have to.
Yeah,
you,
right.
I mean, you can't
right,
have something. Right. But what it describe for somebody who's never heard Soulful, the kind of music you play, the aspiration that you have in terms of the repertoire in particular.
Yeah, I mean, typically when you think of the symphony orchestra, we're tied to this great Western canon of European music. And so we're Beethoven, Mozart. And so to begin to frame the symphony around our experience means almost what Dvorak said in 1895 when he came here. He said, hey, how come you're not looking to your soil to identify who you are as composers and what's your national identity around your classical arts? And we've had this rub for about 100 years ago. So I wanted to create a framework where Soulful Symphony, with the spiritual being the fountainhead where all of these different genres broke off, how do we begin to ferret out what our sound is? What is the American sound? And how do we begin to frame our classical arts around it? And that's what Soulful Symphony is. We try to navigate and negotiate all these different genres, whether it's gospel or jazz or hip hop or rock. It's how do we match that experience up? And that really just it echoes who we are as a culture. And what that represents socially, and how do we make that a sonic experience?
And it echoes what our playlists look like on our phones.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, because all sorts of folks have all sorts of music, you know, and you just press that random button, you know, and stuff comes up. Stuff happens.
That's
on your
the
phone.
Beauty of this whole device with Steve Jobs is demolishing these barriers where people are able to have experiences that typically wouldn't have. And so we want to create a framework with Soulful where we're actually like, what is it like to plug your Soulful Symphony in the Spotify or in your device. That's kind of the objective.
Because that whole notion of, you know, you buy a book on Amazon and they say, well, readers also like.
Right,
you know,
sure.
And
sure.
You listen to some on Spotify and okay, well, here's another 30 tunes that you might like.
Yeah.
You're both responding to that and leading that.
Ah, that's a great
And
point.
That's cool,
because you're
basically saying we're going to give you a wide berth of stuff, but we're also going to lead you to some stuff you haven't thought
Absolutely.
Of before.
Yeah. I mean, it's encyclopedic in the sense that the experiences that we have as individuals, they run the spectrum, and it's my job as a steward of culture to make sure that we have touch points and we're touching everybody at some point. And that's grand and it's ambitious and it's aspirational, but I think as an institution and organization, when you represent a community, that's your responsibility.
Yeah, and it's slightly crazy if you listen to the branding types who will say, you know, you got to be known for this thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you got to be known as this,
and
you can't be known as this plus this plus this.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for you.
Yeah, and we're evolving too. I mean, you know, at the very center for me as an African-American was the African-American experience and forming Soulful. But we're expanding that. We're evolving as the culture is evolving. So I'm excited about that, too. I mean, even in our repertoire and what we're going to be playing and what the orchestra looks like. I mean, I think it's just an American paradigm that's happening that we all need to kind of embrace and see how we're more reflective and inclusive.
And you're inclusive in terms of the personnel that you have on the stage.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You've said many times, we've talked about this a lot, that the optics
yes.
of a symphony orchestra are important.
Very important.
You know, you go to the Baltimore Symphony these days, and God bless the Baltimore Symphony, and we all hope that mm-hmm. they work out
sure.
their current labor disputes and stuff. But I've, you know, as a musician, have worked with mm-hmm. those folks for more than 30 years. Esther Mellon is the only person of color
right.
in the orchestra that
right.
I can count right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
you know, Langston Fitzgerald, a
yeah,
trumpet player
yeah.
went off to
yeah.
teach in the university system. Bruce Wade,
yeah.
wonderful violinist, passed away
yeah.
many years ago.
Anthony McGill was there for a short stint. He's
yeah.
now the
clarinetist.
He's a chief clarinetist with the
New York Phil.
Yeah, yeah.
So attracting people on the stage who look like so many of the people in our city is a challenge for orchestras like the Baltimore Symphony, and they are not alone. I mean, other symphony orchestras around the country are you know, struggling with that aspiration as well. But you put together an orchestra that is largely Black and Hispanic. How do you do that when everybody else is having an incredible, they can't pull it off, and you have pulled it off?
I mean, first of all, they said it couldn't be done, and they said that the musicians weren't, you know, it was a certain caliber of musicians that we couldn't aspire to. And these musicians have come out of the greatest conservatories in the country, and it's an intention. I mean, it's a will, and it's an objective of ours to make that happen. Along with the optics, is to just showcase and be a counter statement to some of those problems that are plaguing the you know, these symphony orchestras. I mean, I think it's not an issue of a lack of a talent pool as much as it is. It's been a systemic issue that we have to dismantle and embrace.
And as a professional musician for these many years, I mean, you're a member of the League of American Symphony Orchestras.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
serve on a
yeah,
committee that
yeah,
talks about diversity
right.
in the
yeah.
orchestra. But they really are struggling. And do you think that if they were able to get over those barriers and have more people of color on the stage, that would begin to, that is the best way and the only real way of attracting people of color in the audience as well?
You know what? That's tricky. I just did an article with the Washington Post, and I said if tomorrow if the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra was people of color tomorrow, all Black and Hispanic, we would still have a problem with audience cultivation, because Americans at large are not coming to hear as much as they were 20, 40, 60 years ago, this European canon. So what are we doing to cultivate our music and the music of our soul? I think that's at the tip of the spear for me, because if we diversify the symphony orchestras, we still have this issue of millennials and those who haven't been cultivated in this European canon, and what is their music. And Mozart's music at his time, all his symphonies were folk music. That was their pop music in this time. All the Verdi and Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony, also all Russian folk music. So how do we begin to take this music and frame it around the symphony orchestra and our arts? That is what's going to speak and resonate, and that's the music of their native tongue. I think that's at the top of the order of magnitude for me. And then it's beginning to have representation in terms of what our community looks like.
And the irony, of course, and it's more than an irony, the tragedy, is that when it comes to those things that make music particularly American,
yes,
as you say, the fundamental pool is the spiritual.
Yes.
It is a Black tradition.
That's right.
And from the spiritual, we get gospel.
Yes.
We get blues. We get jazz.
Yes.
You know, other than the American musical theater, which you can say comes from a largely Jewish
yeah,
experience,
yeah, yeah.
You know, four out of the five, you know, things that the world identifies as American music grew out of the American Negro spiritual.
Yeah, and that's this cultural collision of African and European, and this racially constructed conversation that we've been trying to overcome in this hurdle, which is, it's sad that our arts get trapped in this racial construct in terms of what our music is and how we celebrate it and what's ascended inside of that. When it becomes something, it's like what ascendancy can come to this struggle that we've had socially and racially. But it's right there, like you're saying, that we've moved the needle of the African-American spiritual. It's the fountainhead of everything that is happening in America in terms of culture and music. And so why not embrace it? And I mean, it's celebrated everywhere except for America. You know, I go to other countries, and it's never the racial conversation. It's more of the celebration of American music.
Yeah, and what profit in your own land.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So give us an example. The show that you're doing Saturday night at Meriwether Post is called The Soulful Set List. And you actually sort of crowdsourced some of the programming choices here. What did you put together?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to kind of have this bi-directional experience where audience members are not just only coming to hear, but they have an input in terms of what's happening. So we crowdsourced about 10 songs and then narrowed it down to 3. And then our team orchestrated and arranged it. So we have everything from Coldplay to some Aretha to the Best of Soulful Symphony. So it's really a mashup of American anthems, you know, the anthems of America, some of the greatest songs in pop and soul and R&B and jazz music in the last 50 years or so.
Next year is your 20th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Now, are you going to be doing some stuff other than what you're doing at Merriweather?
Yeah, we're going to do a full season of concerts. We're going to bring a lot of folks back together we're going to try to recreate that Song in a Strange Land piece that we did at the Meyerhoff in 2000. And then I'm working on a couple commissions with some collaborative institutions next year. So we're excited about it. I can't believe it's been 20 years.
Yeah, it sneaks up on you,
yeah,
doesn't
man,
it?
It's
you know,
crazy.
And you know, to put a fine point on how forward thinking you have been, you know, and I'm an unabashed fan there.
Yeah,
you and
know,
I've known each other
that,
for
yeah,
a long
absolutely.
Time.
Yeah.
But for example, you did a thing called Paint Factory,
yes.
which is like a hip hop symphonic music mashup
yeah.
with a terrific trumpet player from here,
yes.
Dante Winslow,
yeah,
who's now in L.A. He's yeah. just gotten off the road with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's all over the place. It was his wife who was singing
mm-hmm.
in the
sure.
opening cut of
yep.
this segment. So, you know, you did, I mean, Paint Factory was how many years
That's
ago?
That's 2007, 12 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, so 12 years ago.
Yeah, and everybody was saying it was crazy, and I was saying this is the direction that the symphony orchestra is going to have to embrace, and it's, yeah, prescient in a sense, clairvoyance, but...
And interesting that the Baltimore Symphony, for example, has this series now that they do with pop acts.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
so they play a set, the pop act plays
yeah.
a set, and then they play
yeah.
a set together.
Yeah.
They have a tough time, I think, figuring out what to play together.
Right.
You know, it gets a little complicated,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you, of all people, know that, because a lot of this music, you've got to write your own charts.
Yeah, we're not pulling any repertoire off the shelf. I mean, every show that we're creating. So we're, along with creating this model, we're also creating a compendium of American music that we're able to kind of give away to other symphony orchestras who are looking to kind of dive into this pool for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, respecting the canon and
yeah.
expanding
yeah,
the canon.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Darren Atwater, he's
yeah.
the founder and conductor of the Soulful Symphony. They have taken up residence at Merriweather Post Pavilion. Their first show of the summer is Saturday night at 7:30. And Darren, before I let you go, we have an email from Michelle. Said, I was so looking forward to seeing Soulful when I heard they'd be at Merriweather. However, I won't be able to make any of the 3 dates announced. Will there be future performance dates announced as well?
Yeah, next year we're going to announce a more robust season. And aside from Soulful Symphony being in residence there, in terms of our own track, next year we'll be the resident orchestra for acts that come through, like almost like the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, so you'll play with
yeah,
folks who
yeah,
come
yeah,
through.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Good for them. Lucky
yep,
them.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll have details about all that stuff at wyprr.org/midday. Good to see you.
Thanks,
and
Tom.
Break a leg this
yep,
weekend.
You got it.
In other news in the arts, by the way, the Baltimore Museum of Art has opened a branch location in Baltimore's Lexington Market. It will be open Thursday through Sunday, 9 to 5 every week. Its first exhibition showcases work by young people at the Greenmount West Community Center that they created under the guidance of Keith Calhoun and Chandra McCormick, two artists from New Orleans. Coming up after a break, the great blues man Guy Davis performs for us live here in Studio A. He'll be joined by Walt Michael, and we'll get a preview of this year's Common Ground on the Hill Festival. Midday on the Arts continues after this break. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.